Let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 5. It was mentioned in the reading meeting this afternoon that we didn't have time to go into Romans 5, 6, and 7, and we don't have time tonight really very much either, but I've been enjoying them a lot recently. Some of us are on the Bible study on Zoom Lord's Day nights, and it's very encouraging, and we've been going through the book of Romans. And so the first part of the book talks about those who are uncivilized Gentiles. It talks about them and talks about civilized Gentiles in chapter 2. About to verse 16, and then to the Jews from 17 and on into chapter 3. And it talks about how we're saved from the penalty of our sins, those of us who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then chapter 5 and verse 12 and on talks about how we're delivered from the power of sins. So we're delivered from, number one, the penalty of our sins. Number two, the power of our sins. And then number three, even the presence of sin. Sorry, the power of sin and then the presence of sin as well. So I wanted to just not even give an outline of deliverance from the power of sin, but just a few points that I've enjoyed. Let's start at Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now, for someone under the age of 12, I have a question for you. Who is by that one man that sin entered the world? 12 and under. Who is the one man through whom sin entered the world? Yep, Joey? Adam, very good. Now, who ate the fruit? Was it Adam first or Eve first? Here's the second question. 10 and under. Are you 10 and under? Okay. Asa, Eve, very good. Now, this is a little harder question, so let's go up to 15 and under. So for those 15 and under, was Eve deceived or was she not deceived? And, yep. Avery? She was deceived. Okay, now a little harder question, 20 and under. If you're 20 years old and under, was Adam deceived? Somebody else? Yeah, Hannah? You're right. No, he was not deceived. That's right. He wanted to be with his wife. And he went ahead and disobeyed God's command because he wanted to stay with her. But it says here, wherefore by one man sin entered the world. It doesn't say by one woman. It says by one man. But Adam was the responsible head of the creation. God had put him in that place as head of the creation. So I enjoyed that. Another point. The Lord Jesus, he came into the creation as well, and he died, and it's wonderful that we can experience the deliverance from the power of sin. I enjoyed what Steve said on the Bible study. He was saying that we can claim Christ's death for our own, and I hope he doesn't mind me telling a story. He was saying that Albert Hayhoe went to an assembly, and he had some come in, and they were teaching that you have to follow the law to be righteous before God. The death of Christ is not enough. Has to be the law as well. So he left it to the local brethren for a while, to the area he was visiting, and they gave verses and they went over the truths, but it didn't seem like they were answering in a complete way. And so Albert had a question for them. He said, these ones that came in, he said, I have a question for you. He said, does the law have any power over a dead man? Does the law have any power over a dead man? And they had to answer, no, it doesn't. And so he said, well, you have entered into a room of dead men. I enjoyed that. We can claim Christ's death when it comes to knowing that we have deliverance over the power of sin. And then also in chapter 7, it talks about how we're delivered from the law as well. And so we don't look to the law that came by Moses. For example, thou shalt not steal. What are some of the other commandments? Can anyone think of any of the other commandments? Yeah, Asa?
Thou shalt not commit adultery.
Good. Anybody else? Abby?
Thou shalt not kill.
Thou shalt not kill. Good. Okay, Avery? Don't steal. Yep, that's one. Very good. So, all these are commands. And isn't that right, that we should not steal? Isn't that a good command? Right? Let me read you another verse. In grace, in the day of grace, what we have goes far beyond what they had in the Old Testament when they were under the law and under the Ten Commandments. Okay, now listen to this verse carefully. It says, let him that stole, this is Ephesians 4, verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more. So that kind of sounds the same. But rather let him labor, let him work hard, working with his hands the thing that is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. Wow. That went far beyond just simply do not steal. It's one, don't steal, but also work hard so you can help others who are in need. Amazing. That's way beyond. So the standard in Christianity is not the law. The standard is the Lord Jesus Christ. Much higher standard. Well, at the end of chapter 6, we have two masters. We have sin and we have righteousness. For 10 years, I worked as an insurance broker for one man, and he's in the meeting, Robbie Wood. Some of you know him. And then he sold his brokerage, and I work for another boss. And so the first boss, I don't get directions from him anymore. Now, he was a great boss, and I enjoyed working with him, but I follow the instructions from the second boss. And that's how it is with that sin nature inside of us. We don't have to follow that boss anymore. We can follow instead the righteousness boss now. So some of you maybe just have had your first job. You've only had one boss. But with regard to your sin nature, you don't have to follow it anymore. And it's wonderful that these things are true. One thing that I enjoyed while reading Darby's synopsis was that he said, I haven't read through the whole thing, but I read part of it. He said that the salvation that we have is not according to man, it's according to God. And that's an amazing thing. It's not according to man. The salvation that we've been given is from God. It's God's salvation. And he was saying just how much God has given to man in grace. That's one of the things that I've enjoyed most from the synopsis, is just the depth of what God has given to man in grace. You think, oh no, I'm just too bad. My flavor of the old nature, what my particular bent is, whether it's gambling or stealing or lying, whatever it is, my bent, you might think in yourself, all these people here are holy. They're way holier than I am. I could never attain to their standard. They're just so good, and I am so bad. I know my thoughts. I know how wicked I am. You might just think, I'm just not good enough for this company. And you're right, in a sense. In your old nature, you're not. There's a verse in Psalm 1. Just quickly turn to it. I might quote it wrong if I don't. It says, therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. And then this is the part I'm thinking of. Nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. And maybe that's what you feel like. Maybe you feel like, oh, I'm a sinner. I just can't even be here. These people are too holy for me. No, turn to the Lord. And in his word, he can guide you how to change your life. Not, okay, I can't be here anymore. I need to go somewhere else to get away from these people, these holy people. No, there's power in the word of God. And there's power in God's salvation. It's a wonderful thing. These things that we've been enjoying this weekend, they're true. Right to the base of them, there's truth in it. There's salvation in God. And you don't have to turn to vices to be saved, like the world would put in your hands. Drinking is one. How many people have turned to drinking to get rid of their problems and only gotten way more problems themselves? I had a lady in my office this last week, and she had her little boy with her. He was probably 9 or 10. And she told me that she wanted her own insurance policy. Now her and her husband of quite a few years, I've insured them for a few years. Anyway, they're separating now. She wanted her own insurance policy. Her husband and her had a vehicle on one policy, and now she wanted her own policy, and her vehicle is going to be taken off of the other policy, her insurance policy. How sad. And here's this little boy, and I'm just crying inside for him, for his life ahead as his parents separate. But amid the sadness, I've also seen two couples get back together. Two that have been married for a while and then separated and then came back together, both cases years later. And so I'm encouraged by those stories. So we also have been delivered. So we've been delivered from the penalty of our sins, those of us who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been delivered from the power of sin now, not later, now, those of us who have believed. And we just have to walk by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his death and his resurrection, claim that for ourselves, realize that we have resurrection life. Look off to the Lord Jesus. Don't look to ourselves. Don't look to the law. And we'll know that deliverance. And we've also been delivered from the presence. We'll be delivered from the presence of sin very soon. Let's look at Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. And verse 11. And that knowing the time, that it is now high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Well, we're not living in the days of the early church. They had a pretty awful time period to live in as well. The disciples did. Talks about the wicked and perverse nation among whom they shine as lights. The Roman Empire was not a wonderful time to live. I'd say living in the United States of America is much easier morally than it was to live in the Roman Empire, I would expect. But still, we see the darkness coming in and we're all in it together. And we see things going down and it just kills us to see the declension and how, as Brother Bill was mentioning earlier today, that man who wrote that book just kind of pleading with the Western world, don't give up what's given you what you have. We were at Upper Canada Village. It's kind of like an old village back in, I think it's 1866, kind of preserved from 1866. And the man there said, well, we are going on 700 years of technological advancements. 700 years. When did the Christian Reformation start? Around 1300. That was when the 1300s was when John Wycliffe the one who was right at the beginning of the Reformation when he lived. So we're going on 700 years of advancements, and that writer is correct. Those things are being thrown out of our Western society. But we can know that we're going to be delivered from the presence of sin. We see it all around us. We see it within us. But soon, we're going to not be around that anymore. And the Lord Jesus is working in that direction to purify his church. But we're also going to be out of this world. The sin nature is going to be completely taken away from us when we hear the shout. And eventually sin will be eradicated from this universe. What a wonderful truth that is. In the meantime, the Lord can keep us. But what can we do? We have God's sovereignty. The Lord can keep us. And we had that verse today, kept by the power of God. But it was mentioned that it's through faith, and I appreciated that. I enjoyed that. Now, let's turn to something that we can do with the Lord's help. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. It says, verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give place to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. I want to especially focus on that first word. Till I come, give attendance to reading. Now, it doesn't say just reading the scriptures. It says give attendance to reading. We know there were other things written at the times, the degrees and these other items that were written at the time. And we have so much written ministry. You go to STEM, great resource. Go to your father's bookshelf, great resource. When Josh Stewart was 13 years old, I was 14, he gave me a book by William Kelly to read on Luke. And, boy, I tell you, I was 14. Any 14-year-olds here today? A couple of you? Okay, I was 14. Any 13-year-olds? Yeah. Josh Stewart, when he was 13, gave me Kelly's book on Luke. And I slugged through that thing. It was so difficult. I tried to read every word, and I think I got probably 10% of it. But I am so glad that I read it. And when you read those things, it gives you an appetite for reading more. And it's good to keep that appetite up as well as you get older. It's hard when you have children, when you're so busy, but it's good to make time for those things, and you get an appetite for it, and you can't stop. It's wonderful. So it can be a little bit of a drudgery, but work through it. Try to do it. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. There are so many things to take our time these days. Video games. I was addicted to video games. What if I was reading the scriptures instead? What if I had been reading the written ministry instead, listening to the audio ministry? There is a loss for me. There is a loss for you because of that. In my life, I'm not as much of a help to you because I was addicted to that. Let's be a help to each other. We need each other, and we want to be a help to each other. Let's just turn to a scripture. I wasn't intending to look at this one, but let's just quickly look at this. A brother at home has shared this quite a few times. 2 John verse 8. 2 John verse 8. I'm going to wrap up really soon here. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. And it's been shared that look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought. If you go off into the world and stop following the Lord Jesus, I lose. Maybe I didn't speak well enough tonight. Maybe I wasn't clear enough. Maybe I didn't encourage you enough this conference. I lose if you don't go on for the Lord. You lose if I don't go on for the Lord. Look around. We're all for each other. We need to be. We lose out, all of us, if we do not help and encourage each other. I lose if you don't go on for the Lord. You lose if I don't. So if there's someone around you who's starting to fail, pray for them. Don't laugh at them. Don't make fun of them. Don't tell your friends. Pray for them. We need each other. Let's turn to one more scripture. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. We had a lot about John's ministry this weekend, and I thoroughly enjoyed that. The light shining out of the windows, as it were. And how important that is. So you have the framework of the house in the analogy Steve was giving. And then you have the light shining out of the windows. How important that light is. You know, so many people think of religion as an old man sitting on the front row and just kind of mumbling away, and that's religion. That's Jesus. That's not Jesus. That's horrible, right? Now, it's wonderful that we have the truth before us. And our older brother, and it's wonderful to have them, and I'm not saying that. But that's not Jesus. That's not following Jesus. That's not the light shining out of the windows, right? We love our older brethren. There's nothing against that. But that's not what Christianity is all about, and that you just have to sit there for hours and listen to somebody not be very interested. Now, the older brethren are interested, and they have a lot of wisdom. So you need to try to listen to them. That's very important, right? You need to listen to them. They know a lot more than I know. They're wise. They've lived life. But don't think that you have to be like that as young people. You're in a different age category. You go out and you talk to your friends as you talk. Not as they talk. They're 70 or 60 or 80. You talk to your friends just like you. Okay? Jesus wants you to work for him. And so, let's read about Peter and John. Now, John was a younger man. Peter was probably older than the Lord Jesus, but John was just a young man. But listen to what happens. This is what they're saying. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, who God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, Peter and says here, verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them. So he was speaking to the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees. And he was speaking to, verse 6, Ananias the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, the elders and the rulers and the scribes. Okay, so that's who Peter was speaking to. And it says in verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. John was a younger man. We had a lot in John's ministry this weekend. Now, John was a younger man, and it says here, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. Now, I would have expected that they would have seen the boldness of Peter. Peter's personality was such that he was a bold man. He wasn't afraid to stand up and say anything. And God needs people like that. God needs children like that. God needs young people like that and older people like that. But John, what about John? Was he bold in his personality? I wouldn't say so. What do we know about John? He leaned on the Lord Jesus' breast. He was in his bosom. He didn't really talk much. But it says here, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. Isn't that interesting? Peter and John. John was bold. Why was John bold? He was confident in the Lord Jesus' love for him. Five times in the Gospel of John, he says, the one who Jesus loved, the disciple who Jesus loved. That was John. And he had confidence in the Lord Jesus' love for him. The love of Christ, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, was constraining him. And if we enjoy the Lord Jesus' love for us, it will constrain us. It will make us want to serve him every day. So we've been with Jesus this weekend. It's been wonderful to be with the Lord Jesus. And I hope you don't take my comment wrong about the older brethren. I want to circle back to that just to make sure there's absolutely no misunderstanding. There's no negativity against the older brethren, because I don't believe in that whatsoever. The older brethren are treasured. We love them dearly. We need them. We need their instruction. We've enjoyed it this weekend and greatly benefited from it. So I want no misunderstanding from that. But as younger people, there's a place for us as well. I want to mention something that we had recently, and I know our time is going, so I want to end with this. Recently, there was a gospel supper in Rideau Ferry. And one of the unsaved men who were invited made this comment. He said he couldn't believe how the older children took care of the younger children. He's still not saved, this man. But he said to James House, he said, this is my cousin, for those of us who don't know James, he's from Rideau Ferry Assembly as well. He said, I can't believe how kind the older children were to the younger children. When I went to school, a lot of the older children hated their younger siblings. But that's one way that you older children can be a help and can show out the Lord Jesus. There are things for you to do as well for the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of those things is to help out the younger children. So as we go from this place, let's remember John, who is bold. And I know these days we have to be so wise as well. We need to be bold, yes, for the Lord, but we have to be wise as serpents as well. And in the cancel culture that we're living in, we need to be very wise, but let us be bold as well. Let us not shy away from what we have just because it's so despised, and the Lord can help us. So let's pray.